Welcome to the Upcycle Canada podcast. I'm Jennifer, and together with my husband Dave, we started with an idea, worked on it as a side hustle, and grew it into our first eco-friendly store. At Upcycle Canada, we repurpose, refinish, and reuse discarded items, giving them new life. Sit in on the conversation as we continue to grow from a small side hustle into something much more. Special guests will drop by and share their journey with you as well. This is the most eco-friendly small business podcast in your favorites. This is Upcycle Canada, where yesterday's items are reborn. Let's do this.
Hi, everyone. This is Samantha from Junebird.ca, and you are listening to the Upcycle Canada podcast. Welcome.
Yay! Thank you, and welcome. This is wonderful to have you here today.
Yes.
Yes. Welcome to our probably most interactive Upcycle Canada listener.
Yes.
Ever.
That's right.
The first person to respond with the secret word of the day and then posted a beautiful, heartfelt video of her winning prize arriving in the mail. Got me right in the feels. I got to tell you, right in the feels. Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that. This is great. I'm a little nervous because I feel like we already know each other and we have to live up to the expectations. Of a great listener been listening to the Upcycle Canada podcast. So, welcome.
Yes.
How are you?
I am doing great. It's been lots of fun listening to the two of you, and I've had so much more, I'll say, company as I'm working away in my upcycled world as well. So it's been quite fun getting to know the two of you and listening to all the things that you've done and accomplished so far. And I really look forward to listening to more and more and more and more from you guys.
Excellent.
Are you going to listen to your own as well?
I'm going to brave it and I'm going to listen to my own.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's interesting after, like, even for ourselves, when we first started, I'd listen to it back and go, oh, like, I sometimes think, well, I'm surprised I thought of that. Like, you know, like, I'm surprised myself when I'm speaking and I hear it afterwards. I'm like, oh, that was good.
Yeah.
Not to brag about ourselves, but we're having fun. It's good.
It is fun to listen to yourself.
So the only thing with this one we were talking about is at the end of the podcast, you're going to share a secret word for our listeners. Now, what's going to happen? Because you're going to know the secret word.
Yeah.
This is a quandary.
What am I going to reply?
What are we going to do about that?
The fact that we've given her the chance to think about the secret word, usually we just throw it at the person right at the end, and that's like, trying to think really quick. So
you've got. We want to talk about Junebird.ca. If you're listening to this podcast, you need to go and check out Junebird.ca. We're going to put all the links for all these things we talk about in the show notes so people can just click them so we don't have to write them all down while we listen, because we could be driving right now and that could be terrible. But go to Junebird.ca on Instagram and you need to follow Samantha because she's doing great things. Tell us, first of all, where did the name Junebird.ca come from?
Yes.
Junebird. And how you got started. We would love to hear it.
So I'll just start with who we are. So Junebird.ca is what we do is we take fabrics and textiles and upcycle them into new and creative toys and accessories for kids. And I started this really as a result of the pandemic, like lots of other things that have happened to many of us. So I was 6 months pregnant when the pandemic came along in March 2020 and everything shut down. I had to stop working because I had a toddler as well. So there was, you know, 3 months of time where I was off and didn't expect to be off prior to the due date, which was May. So, you know, we're trudging along, going along. We started making some masks for ourselves and the community, just because there was, you know, the need for that. And, you know, I was also going to be needing masks. The pregnancy was not ideal. So I was already in and out of the hospital quite a bit. So it was something I needed for myself and my family to have these masks. You know, nobody had them. It wasn't something that the world had ever thought of. So I had started, doing that. You know, time goes by, baby's born, I'm back home, and you know, you're isolated with a newborn as it is, never mind in a pandemic. You know, nobody can come and help you. You can't invite anybody over. People want to, but it's just, you know, it's not safe to have people in your home or even ask them to come, because it's not fair to have them say no to you. So I struggled. I struggled so much. Like, it was unbelievable what the isolation of COVID was on top of the isolation of the pregnancy with, you know, nobody talks about it. So it's really actually really hard. But the, you know, postpartum depression and things like that, that do a lot of women quite a bit. So just to share that with you guys, it actually feels really nice that you want to listen and hear that about how it sort of came into my world a bit. And I'm just like, what am I doing? I'm so lost. I'm so just, you know, I'm not myself. Like, I barely even felt human after this. And, you know, you're sleeping in 45 minute increments, and you know, just the weight of newborn and pandemic was just like mentally just too much. So I just kind of remembered, I'm like, sewing the masks, it was so relaxing and it gave me a purpose. It had, you know, me doing something, and, you know, I needed things for my newborn. You know, you have one baby, the second baby, you know, they're never going to be the same. So, you know, my daughter, she was much more drooly and, you know, a worse sleeper and needed a pacifier and all these things that I didn't experience with the first. I'm like, I can't get this stuff. Like, it's still COVID. You can't order things. You can't find things. Things are like delayed just by the nature of everybody needing to order online. So when I realized, oh, I can make them. I have these old torn clothes that nobody can wear anymore. I can't take them anywhere because nothing's being accepted. I'm like, oh, the sewing the masks. Why don't I start sewing these drool bibs? Drool bibs were the first thing that I started. So I made a few of those. And what I started realizing is, I guess the sewing machine that I have is from my gran, and she's, you know, in her 90s now. And I couldn't see her. It's still, I barely have even seen her in the last 3 years because of COVID. So every time I started sewing, it was this connection to my gran, who used to sew all of her clothes when we were little. She used to, you know, make toys for us. She'd make matching dresses for our dolls, that we would have a matching dress as like a little girl. So, but I still have a box of her clothes that she made for our dolls, and, you know, we'll bring them out when my daughter's a little older. So she was the one, and her name is June. So that's where the June comes from in our name. And you know, sitting there at the sewing machine was this connection to the family that I couldn't see. And you know, it gave me this meditative sort of relaxing creative outlet that would let me escape my sort of own lockdown world and my own isolated world, and gave me something that I could actually use in my home. So the more I started thinking about it, the more of how could I share this with other people, and what are all the other sort of driving, you know, factors in my life of inspiration and strongness. So, the second part of her name, the bird, is a dedication to my grandfather, who has this love of birds. All that he ever wanted to do was bird watching. You could always find him knowing everything about birds, seeing everything about birds. You know, if you ever stumped on what to get him, you know, there was never enough bird feeders that they could have in their yard. So the June bird is a combination of their names, and dedicated really to the two of them as a sort of inspirational, strong set of people that I've always been around in my life.
I love Very it. Cool. That's really cool.
Kind of the story of how we started and why the connection to the sewing, and being able to share that and tell people that I have had this experience and what's led up to it, and hopefully be able to inspire people to follow through on some of the things that they want to share with others is what we're also trying to do. So.
Excellent. So when did you make the decision to go from making stuff for yourself to start making stuff for other people?
So it, almost instantly, really, I'm like, everybody needs these things. Like, the community is going to need some place to find things locally. You know, how can I get the word out to let our neighborhood know that I can give them resources to new parents or even parents that want to find new toys and new things for their kids so they don't have to wait so long. So, it took a few months to sort of get up and going with social media and websites and getting the word out. But it was just such a purpose, because that sort of brain shift, like, I've never really had that experience where you feel such a strong, I don't even know how to explain it, but like a motivation where, I'm so down low, and all of a sudden it was like the first time I actually had some sort of, I'll say, like, true happiness in a long time. And I'm like, that's it. If I can feel like this, then everybody needs to feel like this, or have the opportunity to have that light switch go off. Like, that true light bulb moment was what did it for me. You're like, really at the beginning of, I had made just a couple of doodle bits for myself and for the baby to use. And I'm like, that's it. Everybody's going to need this. Everybody's going to want to know, and how can I help them, achieve some of these goals? Because there's no way I'm the only person struggling like this.
So do you have a mentor that kind of helped you with starting a business and doing social media and building a website, all that stuff? Do you have somebody in your corner that helps you with that? Or are you just doing this and learning it as you go?
I'm partly learning as I go. I mean, it's short of, the small amount of podcasts I listen to. There is one that I connected with for a business as well. So they've been good supports and good resources and tools and workshops and classes and things that I've been able to take through that organization to put into good practice as well. So they help with a lot of things of social media planning and content planning. So I do it mostly on my own, but just with their support and knowledge to use as a guide, if that makes sense. But a lot of it is definitely sort of self-initiated. Like, the website was my own work in progress. I mean, I think it's up and it's going, and I think, I've had some great feedback on it, but that was all my own learning as well. I'd never designed a website before, so I'm definitely open to feedback on that as well. So
having a small business, you wear a lot of hats, yeah, which you could probably make as well, but you wear a lot of hats, right? And you have to be kind of a little bit of everything when you're starting out, because you don't have financial resources to hire people, to hire a team, right? You kind of have to do this yourself, or it's not going to happen. So having a resource like that is great. And I'm sure there's other people who are in the same boat that you are in that would love to have that resource. So, we can always share that resource here on the podcast and let people know about that, because it might be something that people would be interested in kind of following your path. Maybe speaking to somebody like this, right?
Yeah, for sure. I can definitely send you that information if you wanted to pop it in your show notes.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
That'd be great. So you got your training to do what you do through your family, yeah, and growing up in that environment. Are there any things that you have taken as far as classes to help develop your skills beyond what you've learned through your family, or everything you've done is based on that?
Everything's based on the family, just from seeing what my gran has done, the quality of work that she's made, the ideas that she's come up with. So from the creative side all the way through to technical side, as well. So it's all been sort of learned through her, and then just self-practice and just giving myself time to create something, see how it looks, alter it a little bit until it's sort of finessed into the right, the right shape or the right toy or the right size. And really just having that patience with myself to get things right, or the way that I want them to be right.
Yeah. We're our worst enemy, I think, sometimes or critic, I suppose, when it comes to that, because I know we've done the same when we're creating things. Yeah. We see the flaws that have happened throughout it.
And you learn, though,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You definitely
I think that's the hardest thing for a new business, I think, is to wait until you think you're perfect before you start.
Yeah.
Instead of just starting.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, right. You have to try. Yeah.
Just starting is fantastic. And that's definitely one of the things I'd like to, you know, reiterate too. It's like, you just go for it. Like, you're never going to be 100% ready. It's never going to be 100% perfect. And, you plan what you can, and then just go for it and see what people have to say, and take the compliments and take the critics, and, you know, work with both of them.
It's probably nice to even just to throw the idea out to your friends and family and say, hey, I'm thinking of doing this. What are your thoughts?
Yeah.
You know, just to kind of get that bit of encouragement as well, and just a little push probably to even, once you've talked about it out loud, it's almost like, okay, you know, I've kind of shared this. I probably should start, right?
Yeah.
And you kind of commit to it a little bit better.
For sure.
Another thing I'm thinking for your products. So the fabrics that you have, is it, do you have a lot of, where do you get them from? Is it recycled fabric, some of it? Do you buy stuff new? Do you get things donated? That kind of stuff.
I'm going to say it's mostly donated. So there is a local, I'll say pre-loved children's fashion store in our neighborhood that I connected with. And anything that they can't resell, because people will bring sort of on a resale or consignment basis, and anything that she can't buy from the people who drop things off, because she inspects them really carefully and there's, you know, a few holes or a few stains, you know, the people probably don't, you know, necessarily want them back. They can't be donated for use because there's holes in them. I'll go and collect all those items from her. So it's a lot of children's clothes, of sleepers and pajamas and t-shirts, and use as much of it as I can in the products that I make. So everything primarily is some type of clothing that's just not quality enough for resale or donation to a charity.
Very cool.
So you don't have a problem getting material then?
Not too much.
Yeah.
It's okay. Pretty good. I mean, like, there's always, you know, I guess as I keep going, I'm sure I'm going to start to run low on my resources. And, you know, I definitely want things to go first to, you know, be resold through the children's fashion secondhand stores in the neighborhood, and then donated. It would be the next best thing to a family that just maybe needs some assistance with clothes for their child. And then third would be to me, so I can turn it into something else. That can be new and loved for a long time again.
So was that a conscious decision when you were starting that you wanted to do use recycled materials, or was it at a cost savings to use recycled materials?
It was kind of both. It was kind of, hard to get materials in the first place because of the pandemic, and where can I shop and what can I get? And then how can I also make it affordable for people to get new items for their kids? So if I were to be able to source materials at minimal cost or low cost or even no cost, then that cost savings is sort of passed down to people, so that there is a different market or a different price point that gives people options to buy as well. So reusing the fabrics also kind of comes back into, you know, kids are into their clothes or their toys for such a short period of time that everything's outgrown, and you kind of feel bad about the short usage of stuff, whether it is a toy or it is a piece of clothing. So having the option of something that's already been loved once turned into something else, you feel a little bit more confident getting the things for your kids that they need, and not having as much of an environmental impact as well on that whole, the whole process of just getting things for your kids to get them through like that 1 month. Like, you know, I knew like my daughter, like, she can't be drooly forever, but I don't want to buy all these drool bibs for her to use for 1 month because I'm like just so tired of changing clothes, you know, reusing and making those, which are still good, and that I could pass them on to somebody else as well. So that was when I started just thinking more and more and more about it. It just seemed to be the right solution.
That's right. And when babies grow so fast, like little sleepers, right? They have them for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and they're already growing.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, now what do I do with all this stuff?
Yeah.
Right? So you need to send it to junebird.ca, and that's where it needs to go.
That's where it needs to go.
Right?
Yeah.
To know that it's going to be repurposed and reloved. That's a great solution. And I love the podcast because we get a chance to talk to people that are a part of a solution, right?
Yeah.
We've all found a problem in whatever area that we do, and we've been able to identify the problem. And now, what can I do to fix that? Or what can I do to step into the gap? And you're doing that. And that's admirable from us to look at, and, you know, we're cheering you on saying, this is exactly what we need. And, you know, are there people in your corner cheering you on where you are?
Yeah, there definitely are. So I think we've got family is really supportive in just getting, I don't even know what the word is, but just getting the time that allows me to do what I want to do for me, and for me to feel so empowered, I guess, is also the other word, to have a contribution to the community in this way with upcycling, and then meeting the people in the community as well who are supportive of this, and the neighbors who I've been able to chat with and have them just realize, oh, yes, there are so many other resources out there, and connecting with people that have similar or, you know, complementary businesses that I'm just starting to find. And it's just created a whole another world of people that I wouldn't have been able to connect with before. So there's so much support from, you know, right in the home to strangers, basically, that are out there. You know, I got a instant message from somebody on my Instagram saying, I just heard about you in this Facebook group, and what you're doing is fantastic. And I'm like, who are you?
I was like, who told you?
So somebody else is out there talking about me, and I'm like, this Facebook group, I don't even know what it is. So then I had to go research that, and then since I've joined it to follow who's in that group, and it was Zero Waste in Toronto, and I'm like, wow, somebody's talking about me to somebody else who then just felt so compelled to say, hey, I like what you're doing, keep it up. And whoa, it's just
it feels good.
Yeah. It's exciting, awesome. Right? You're on the right path, and people are noticing, and it's great. And we want to encourage you because we love what you're doing, and to have you on the podcast with us is like the end of the day for us.
Yeah.
But we're like both looking forward to this. Like, we can't wait.
Oh,
you know,
man.
Get to talk to you, and
you
know, it's exciting to know that there's people in your corner that support you however they choose, or however they can support you.
Yeah.
So having an Instagram account and having a following on Instagram, a community that you're building, for a new business owner, how important to you is social media and connecting with an audience on, say, for example, Instagram?
For me, it's really important. So the two platforms I really focus on are Instagram and Facebook. I know they are pretty well connected, and they are part of the same company in a sense. But I do find that some people do stick to one versus the other. There are tons of platforms, but for me to learn them all, I've just sort of cut myself off on those two. They're the two I'm comfortable with. They are sort of the ones that most people, when you go into, or I found anyway, into sort of any types of coaching or courses about social media and marketing, they are often focused on those two as well. So it helps to get, when you're getting support from those types of resources, that you're following those same types of social media platforms. And I'm just finding them more, I guess I want to say, personal in a sense. Like, maybe it's just me because I'm reading people's posts and getting to know who they are in this, even if it's such a digital world, but then you get those one or two, you know, private messages, and it starts to become a bit more personal, a bit more real, that there are people behind the posts there, because you can share both content and written information as well as photos. There's both sides that you get to see of people and of other, you know, complementary businesses as well. So you can see what people that you maybe want to collaborate with are working on, how are the other people in your community contributing to upcycling, or what are they doing for their businesses and how can you support them, the ones that are in your neighborhood or even ones that are farther out of your neighborhood, to draw attention to them. And what are the people doing in your community? You get to start to recognize some of the places in your neighborhood, and you know, you're building this community, and you see followers and they're posting, you know, that I went to the museum or I went to a sports event, and you're like, oh yes, I've been there, I've done that. And you get this way of learning about people through those two platforms. So that's kind of why I just stick to those two, because I also don't want to spread myself so thin that I'm not getting the opportunity to learn about who's in my community and who sort of shares some of these same thoughts about upcycling and recycling and environmentally friendly initiatives.
I know with what you've made and stuff, so for the timeline that you've made and created these things now, it's not been a long period of time, but do you have any favorite things that you enjoy more than other things to make? Or have you had stuff that seems to be like a hot seller, I suppose?
Oh, that's a really good question. Right now, I would say that we have a dinosaur stuffy. It's like a taggy blanket. So like a stegosaurus, there's all kinds of little tags that have that are for the spikes. So when you have a young child and they're learning about tactile and sensory experiences, mm-hmm. and teething, it gives them something to pull on, it gives them something soft, it gives them something to chew on. And those are definitely mm-hmm. been the ones that have sold the most right now. So it's just something that mm-hmm. is colorful and bright, so you get that sensory opportunity for that development as well with kids. So.
That's neat.
Have you done any custom things for people where they've come to you with a request and you've had to make something that you don't normally would make on your own?
I have not yet encountered one. I would definitely give it some consideration to see if there's something that I could help with creating. I know there's lots of opportunity for people who bring in like their baby's first sleeper that they came home from the hospital with, and they want to turn that into a stuffed animal that is something that the child would have later, you know, as they grow older and keep with them as a memory of that. So there's definitely some opportunity to chat with people about what those custom options might be and creating those memories. Anyway,
one thing I like about doing custom for people is they're coming to you, like you said, with the item that they have sentimental attachment to, and they're giving this to you and trusting you, you know, that they're going to get it back, first of all, but that, you know, there's meaning behind the product, right? Personal connection with the product itself and the material. So to get it back, like you said, in a different form is great. Like that's I wish we had that for our kids looking back, but
we still have some of our kids' things, like the knitted sweaters or the onesies and things that they came home in the hospital. But it's almost like I have all that stuff.
There we go.
So, but I didn't even think of like making it into something else. Like I know the kids, when they look at them, they'll be like, I was that small? Like I seriously fit into that? That's almost more entertaining than to try and, but I don't know. Absolutely. Like we don't have,
they're just sitting in a box.
They're
right?
Just sitting in a box. So
they have no purpose.
But it's a great way to repurpose something instead of just sitting in it as a keepsake. Exactly. Why not make it as a new little object or toy or something?
Yeah. And then, you know, the child would have that for a little bit longer as they grow and play with that and start to use their imagination and connect with that stuffed animal. And as you're saying, it has a story behind it. So mm-hmm. when you're working with local vendors that make these items, like they everything has a story behind it, you know, including the things that you guys are making as well. So, you know, connecting with people on that level is really, it's really personal. It's really super nice.
It is, right? Mm-hmm. And when you can connect the story back to the people and give them back something of meaning, like you can't get that in any other store, right? Yeah. You can't. So you are the only one who can do that. And having that customer trust always leads to the next thing. So we get custom off asked all the time. People come and ask us all the time for stuff. And it's a challenge because they don't give you a lot of parameters.
Yeah.
They just want the finished product, right? And but it's just something special. I feel like I have to handle all this donated sentimental items with really careful gloves, and it has to go in a special spot in the shop because I can't confuse it with anything else. And I have to give it my full attention because it means something to somebody rather than a piece of something I found on my own, right?
Yeah.
So I just love the idea of being able to do something special for somebody and then to see the response from that customer, right? That means more than, to be honest, in some cases, means more than the financial side. I need the financial side so that I can continue doing this, but it's very rewarding to be able to give back and do something that means something to somebody on a deep level. You know, it's great.
Yeah, exactly. Because one of the things I learned during this sort of whole pandemic and newborns and pandemics is that the resources that we have in the community aren't always known. So one of the things I've decided to do with June Board is to pick an organization to make financial contributions to from our sales and to help make awareness for different charities and organizations that people may not have heard of that do need support, that support others, primarily organizations that are focused on moms and new parents within the community. So you can always check out our website to find out about who we are supporting that year. And that's just, again, for me, but, you know, stretching that community and that feeling community and sense of pride in what you do, just a little bit more.
That's excellent.
It's really cool.
It's very kind of you to do that, which is great.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that the charities that you help support really do appreciate it because, again, it's one thing to receive financial support for your charity, but then also recognition and someone who's promoting your charity is another thing that would cost them money to get in anyway, to get advertising. So you're helping in two ways, which is wonderful. Really, really good.
Yeah.
So what is the future of JuneBird.ca? Where are you headed? If you had money's no object, there's no way you can't succeed. What do you think this could turn into for you down the road?
So I would love to turn this into a space where I could hire other makers to join with me. You know, people that are creative, people that maybe need a little bit of support or extra income, something that they can do at home that, you know, they're interested in sewing, even being able to teach somebody some sewing techniques that they could learn, create things for the shop and sell much more than I have right now. You know, being able to offer more and more types of toys or accessories for kids, but being able to grow in the sense of supporting my community with other parents and other creative people that just need a little bit of focus or something that they are interested in but don't quite know what to do, or just to connect with somebody that might want to have some space and time on their own, but, you know, they want to create, but then what are they going to do with it after? So being able to take the things that they make and sell it in the shop would be fantastic. So finding those people and growing in that way would be something I would love to be able to do anytime soon, so that we've got more available and more people part of the upcycling world.
So if there's a listener listening and they're in another province or country, and they're like, I can sew. I have time. I have young children, or I'm retired, or I'm in a stage of my life where I would love to do something like this. Would you be willing to help them if they reached out to you and said, can you just get me started and give me some ideas?
Yeah, give me a shout. You can reach me at hello@junebird.ca. Send me an email. Let me know what you're thinking about. And I definitely want to connect and see how you can start something like this in your community. See if, you know, we wanted to collaborate or join forces. Definitely willing to chat with anybody that that is interested in something similar to this. So
you're not hiding the secret sauce and you don't want anybody to be a part. You're open, right, to this?
I am totally open. Excellent. Totally open to this.
Excellent. Yeah. It's a great model. And I think many people would be interested in this, right? So I think that's something great that you can share with your community and beyond.
Yeah.
Right.
Definitely.
And that's kind of the whole idea behind having you on the podcast, is to kind of raise that so other people can hear your voice and hear what you're up to. That's wonderful. So the best way to find you is junebird.ca for your website, right? And then on Instagram, the same there as well. Anything you want to leave the listeners with, any kind of advice starting a small business or upcycling, anything you want to share as far as who you are and how we can share your message further?
Yeah, I'd say, just go for it. It's the biggest piece of advice I could have. So, think of what it is that you find rewarding. Share it as much as you're comfortable with sharing it. Even if you're just inspired and you inspire yourself and, you don't share with anybody, that's definitely okay too. So whatever you can do to help yourself relieve any anxiety or mental weight or stress, that helps you just feel more comfortable with yourself, just do it. It doesn't have to be world changing. It can just be life changing in the sense of your own life. And it can be, that could be very, very big for some people. So I would say if it's starting a business, that's great. If it's, moving to a new job, that's great. If it's just buying something that's going to, be a great meal for yourself, something that you want to enjoy, just go ahead and treat yourself, because you're definitely worth that, and you're definitely worth sharing your inspirations. So
Very great. Cool. That's awesome. The only thing I would think of is, I know a lot of times with for what we do, and a few other makers that we've seen, they like to share their process of, when you first buy a piece of fabric and then you've made it into something, and kind of show the steps of how it all started. I think a lot of people seem to enjoy those steps and stuff. So that would be something it's easy to forget. It's just nice to just want to jump into the project. But that's definitely something I always like to watch for and stuff, to see where you started and how it ended up. So yeah,
it's great.
Yeah.
That's really good. Yeah, because we have the story of the material, but then there's the story of how it was turned from something into something else. People love to follow that along. Mm-hmm. They want to participate and see the steps.
That's right.
Right. And that's what's inspiring, is like, I can do this, right? I have a sewing machine. I got to reach out to these. I'm going to reach out to Junebird. I want to be a part of this because I see the steps. I can do this. I feel comfortable. I've got a good teacher here that wants to help.
Yeah.
Right. So it's great. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Our dogs are howling at the moment for some reason.
Oh, no.
I have no idea what's going on up
there.
They
both were. Oh.
Yeah. They're having a very sad day. So we're going to attend to them in a moment.
Yes.
But
poor thing.
Yes. Sad day upstairs, apparently, for something. Yeah. So the best way to find you, junebird.ca. Now, the one thing we like to do, and you know this very well because you are the most
interactive
and quick to respond listeners for our podcast. Thank you. But we like to throw out a word at the end of the podcast for those that have listened all the way to the end and maybe heard our dogs howling in the background. What is the word for the day for this podcast so that we can then reach out to these people? And this is what we're going to do for this one, is if they respond with your word, we're going to give them a shout out on the next podcast that we're recording at the time that we receive the email. Okay. So it'll be a shout out saying, hey, this is for Jen at Upcycle Canada. Thank you for responding. And here's Jen's website or her Instagram. Go give her a follow. And that's going to go out to all of our listeners around the world. So it's kind of neat. Yeah. So you are going to be picking the word that people are going to send back to us from this episode so that we can do that for them. So do you have a word?
I do have a word.
Okay. All right. Sit up straight. We want to hear it. Wait, give us a second.
Everybody,
this is very important time for us. All right. Ready?
The word is beanbag.
Oh, there you go.
Right on.
Beanbag. So you're going to go to Upcycle Canada. You're going to send us a message. You're going to find us on your Instagram, all that stuff. DM us, email us, beanbag. Mm-hmm. And you will be getting a shout out on a future podcast episode.
Awesome. Yes.
What do you think of that? Is that good?
That's a great word.
It's a good one?
Yeah, it's two words technically. Well, is beanbag one word? Or is it two?
It's so good. Yeah. It's so good. Yeah. So we are very thankful for you taking time for us today. Thankful for you for listening to our podcast. Yes. It's very surreal to have you come on now and be a part of it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to listen to this podcast.
Me too.
Because there's so much great information here.
Yes.
I'm inspired.
I am.
You're inspired. You're obviously inspired.
I have a sewing machine too, but I don't see. This is the second time now in this week that's been brought up about sewing. So it could be the thing I need to start. So
you have a good person in your corner now that you can reach out to and get that support.
That's perfect.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
I'm right here anytime.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Junebird.ca. It's a place to go, right? And we're going to send people to you. And if you need help, you want to start something like this in your community, this is the person to talk to right
here. That's right. Absolutely.
Samantha, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate you. And we will talk soon, okay?
Definitely. Okay. Talk soon.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
Bye. Right.
This has been the Upcycle Canada podcast. Thanks for listening today. We appreciate your feedback and would love to connect with you. Email your questions, comments, or suggestions to upcyclecanadapodcast@gmail.com. To find out more about our business and access links to all our social media sites, podcast notes, and more, please visit upcyclecanada.ca. A review of this episode on the podcast app of your choice is always appreciated. Please help us build this community by sharing our podcast with your family and friends. Our thanks to Jacob Moon for the instrumental backing track used in this podcast. Please visit jacobmoon.com for more on this talented Canadian artist. Join us again for more great topics, ideas, and practical steps to help you in your daily life. Thank you for listening. Let's keep this conversation going.